Y'all ready for a little bit more of this wonderful stuff? We got Snake coming back up for the next set, and I've been seeing Snake for months now, and I'm quite impressed with what I'm seeing tonight, and I can only imagine those of you who've never seen him before are quite impressed. So how about a big round of applause again for our friend Snake. Thank you very much. And the hat's sitting over here on the piano. If you didn't get a chance to put something in, it's sitting right there. You can always add to it.
Had a couple of interesting conversations. Nobody threw any rocks at me. I guess I guess I'm in a friendly group. I was going to do this a little later, but I'm going to do it now because some folks have to leave. This is a song done by Townes Van Zandt. He wrote it in 1968 or thereabouts. The name she gave was Caroline, the daughter of a miner. Her ways were free, it seemed to me. Sunlight walked beside her. She came from Spencer o'er the hill. She said her pa had sent her, 'cause coal was low, soon the snow would paint the sky with winter. She said she came to look for work and not for asking favor, just a dime a day, a place to stay. Times were tough and jobs were few throughout Tecumseh Valley. She asked around till a job she found tending bar for Gypsy Sally. She'd saved enough to go back home when spring replaced the winter, but dreams denied. Her pa had died. The word came down from Spencer. She took to whoring on the streets with bitterness inside her. Many a man came back again to lay himself beside her. Found her underneath the stairs that led to Gypsy Sally, and in her hand a note that cried, "Farewell. Tecumseh Valley. She said her name was Caroline, the daughter of a miner, and her ways were free, it seemed to me. Sunlight walked beside her. Thank you. This next one is pretty recent, 2013, I think. It's written by a friend of mine from Cambridge, a great songwriter, great singer-songwriter, named Rick Drost. It's the most beautiful song I've ever heard. The words are exquisite. Time now, time beckoning, time out of memory, glimpses of dreams not yet dead. Reborn romance, second chances past reckoning, the future now, now is repaired. Here at the high mark where all waters rise before they start falling away, what in the moment in front of your eyes, you can dance through all time in a day. Lamb in the oven and cinnamon ginger, songs from your grandmother's heart. Easter time, family gathers for dinner. Take your place till they're ready to start. Early this morning, out under the apple tree, falls drops of dapple in sun. Cidery air up to blossom cerulean, grandfather's blessings begun. It's a still point where you long to stay. The world turns and it slips away. Gone now the apple tree, long gone the family. raised in the home that they built in this place. You ride to the strains of a loopy calliope, reaching for brass rings they no longer make. But you're finding apple trees everywhere now. The forest in new fallen snow. Gulliver Beach cliff and towers in Tuscany cradle them, then let them go. In the windlessness of the canyon floor, breathe the sky down in and again before each dip of the paddle, each stroke of the pen, as God writes your name in his hand. Thank you very much. Took me a while to figure out how to do that. Rick Drost is one of these guys who, if you're a guitarist, you'll know what I mean, uses alternate tunings all the time. He invents them. He thinks of the way he wants the song to sound, then he invents a tuning so that he can play it. I have a hard enough time playing, you know, in standard tuning. This was in drop D. And I couldn't play it if I didn't have a double-jointed thumb on my left hand. All right, this is a song from 1967. It's written by one of my musical partners, a fellow named Stephen Martin. Stephen and I have been playing together off and on for, oh, forever. We go back 50 years. Currently, we've been playing as a duo and, you know, growing and shrinking as other people come available. Doing that for 12 years. He wrote this song back in 1967. We lived in Worcester. And in Worcester at that time, he had gone to Frisco for the Summer of Love. And he came back and he decided he wanted to put a miniature Haight-Ashbury in Worcester. So he got a whole bunch of people together, and they centered around a place called Congress Alley. In its heyday, there were 350 people involved, a little enclaves here and there, not all on the alley. But they had, you know, they had a theater, and they had a newspaper, they had an early warning system in case, you know, the gendarmes came around. They had these were three-deckers that backed up on the alley, and they had clotheslines going in between the three-deckers. So if the gendarmes were coming up the stairs, they'd put their stash in a baggie, clip it to the clothesline, and send it across the way. But anyway, he wrote this song in 1967. It's called Black Beauty, but it's not about a horse. And it's not about this guitar, although that's her name. It's not about one of Stephen's wives. It's about better living through chemistry. Black Beauty It's me swinging in from the cherry tree. Black Beauty, can't you see I'm yours now that I'm free? And heavenly blue, I love you. Won't you say that you love me too? Won't you kindly tell me what it was I was supposed to do? Do you know the groundhog has a periscope poking up through the sand? There's a beatnik at my door. Got a feeling he's the man. Oh, Mary Jane, hello. How does your garden grow? I really miss my baby. You're the only friend I know. Little sugar cube, you're so fine. Really help me to straddle that line. Take me in your golden arms and fly me to the end of time. Ah, but Red Devil, you got me uptight. Keep me guessing all the long, lonely night. Rapping to the light bulb about how I'm gonna be all right. Now, I suspect that most of you would prefer to remain my friends. But the boys in blue will come for you. Who will have us? Who will have us then? Well, Mary Jane, that's who. How does your garden grow? Really miss my baby, and you're the only friend I know. Yeah, Mary Jane, baby. Really miss my baby, and you're my only friend. Really miss my baby, yeah, you're my only friend. Really miss my baby, you're the only friend I know. Thank you. For those of you who were not around in the late 60s and might not have gotten some of the references, Black Beauties are uppers. I never dug pills. It just wasn't my thing. Anyway, Black Beauties were uppers. Heavenly Blue was Morning Glory seeds. There is an hallucinogenic compound in the hulls of Morning Glory seeds. However, there's also strychnine in there, so you have to treat them in some way, I don't know what it is, to get the good stuff out and leave the bad stuff behind. I have no idea how you do it, although I did meet a woman at an open mic in Newton one night who claimed that she knew how to do it, but she wasn't really all there, so I'm not so sure about how good her methodology was. Well, I don't know, because I didn't know her then, you know. Sweet Little Sugar Cube, of course, that's the way they used to deliver LSD back before they invented microdots. Red Devils are downers. And Mary Jane is Mary Jane. And thank you for question four. Back in the 60s, there was a guy in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, had a band. His name was Dick Holler. And this was a general business band, you know, played weddings, bar mitzvahs, you know, parties. And the band was together under various different names for like 16 years. And various people rotated in and out of this band, as happens when you got one that stays together that long and plays, you know, Joe's Bar. But there were some pretty heavy hitters that came out of Dick Holler's band. And Dick himself wasn't bad. He wrote Snoopy versus the Red Baron, and he wrote Abraham, Martin, and John. So, you know, he was pretty good himself. But among the graduates of his various bands, one was Jimmy Clanton, who had several hits in the early 60s, the most notable being Just a Dream. Mac Rebinac, otherwise known as Dr. John, was a graduate of that band. His 1968 album, Gree Gree, is one of the best ever, in my opinion. Another one came out of that band was a guy named Johnny Ramastella. Johnny Ramastella figured he was deserved better things than could be found in Baton Rouge, so he left. And he went up to Nashville, and he bombed. So then he went to New York, and he bombed. And then he went to L.A., and out there, he hooked up with a guy named Lou Adler. Now, Lou Adler was a heavy hitter. He had his own record label and managed several big groups. And Lou Adler took him on to be his manager and got him a job at a 20-somethings hookup joint just opened up on Sunset Strip called the Whiskey-A-Go-Go. And but one of the first things he told Johnny Ramastella was, you know what? Johnny Ramastella is not going to make it in L.A. Change your name. So he did. Became Johnny Rivers. And while he played at the Whiskey Go-Go, he had several hits, several hit albums. Very distinctive style, very danceable style. Mostly did covers. But in 1966, he and Lou Adler teamed up and they wrote a song that turned out to be Johnny's biggest hit. It was his only number one record. Made him enough money to start his own record label. Huge hit. I don't do it like Johnny Rivers because, well, for one thing, I'd feel pretty stupid sitting up here singing Shoo-be-doo-wop-wa-da. And I don't have a chorus of scantily clad go-go girls to back me up either. But this is my take on Poor Side of Town. How can you tell me how much you miss me when the last time I saw you, you wouldn't even kiss me? That rich guy you've been seeing must have put you down. Welcome back, baby, to the poor side of town. To him, you were nothing but a little plaything. Not much more than an overnight fling. To me, you were the greatest thing this boy had ever found. It's hard to find nice things on the poor side of town. I can't blame you for trying. I'm trying to make it too, but I got one little hang up. Just can't make it without you. So tell me, are you gonna stay now? Will you stand by me all the way now? With you by my side, they can't keep us down. Together we can make it. From the poor side of town. I don't blame you for trying. I'm trying to make it too, but I got one great big hang up. Just don't want to make it without you. So tell me, are you gonna stay now? Will you stand by me? With you by my side, they can't keep us down. Together we can make it. From the poor side of town. Thank you. Now I'm going to give you a history lesson. You never know what you're going to get when I'm around. This is a song that was written, the lyrics were written by a former bandmate of mine, a fellow named Robert Emmett Dunlap, who plays all over the Cape. He wrote a set of lyrics to an old Celtic song called The Garry Owen. He picked The Garry Owen because it was the favorite song of Colonel George Armstrong Custer. And the reason why will become apparent to you. A lot of people think Custer was a general. Well, actually, in a way he was. In the Civil War, he was awarded the temporary or brevet rank of Brigadier General because his superiors had all gotten killed, and that's what they did. Then they, you know, give him a field promotion. At the end of the war, he went back to his former rank, which was colonel. He didn't get paid any extra while he was a general, but he had the responsibilities. He graduated from the bottom of his class at West Point. And after the war, he was posted out west to Nebraska to a place called Fort Lincoln. Now, he loved the Gary Owens, so whenever his troops would set out on a mission, he'd have the regimental band play the Gary Owen. Come to find out that when he was at West Point with some very risque lyrics, it was the favorite drinking song of the cadets. And since Custer was somewhat of a lush, that probably explains why he liked the song, you know, relive his college days. But anyway, the actual lyric is a ghost story. It's about two young lads from Ireland who fled the potato famine of the late 1840s, eventually found their way to the United States, to the land of milk and honey, only to find out that they were the subjects of tremendous prejudice. There'd be signs in the shop windows in Boston, and this is there are photos of this. Help wanted, no Irish need apply. Same was true in New York, except the gendarmes got on the case of the shop owners and said, you can't do that. So they put up a sign, help wanted, N-I-N-A. Duh. So everybody knew what that meant, but they got away with it, skated around the law. And so Mick and Patty Ryan did what immigrants have had to do since immigration started, and they still have to do it today. Can't find jobs, but they got to keep a roof over their head and food in their bellies. They joined the army. They fought in the Civil War. Patty was killed at Vicksburg. Mick stayed on and was posted out west to Fort Lincoln, Nebraska, under the command of Colonel George Armstrong Custer. People think of Custer as a war hero. The only reason you think of him that way is because he died. He was actually a war criminal. His troops wiped out the entire populations of several of the Native American villages. You know, men, women, children, aged, infirm, babies, took their scalps. He wasn't a nice man. One day, the troops set out on a mission. Mick rode with them, and while they were riding, and after they stopped, he had an epiphany. My name is Mick Ryan, I'm lying still in a lonely spot where I was killed by a red man defending his native land at a place that they call Little Bighorn. And I swear I did not see the irony when I rode with the 7th Cavalry. I thought that we fought for the land of the free when we rode from Fort Lincoln that morning. And the bandit played the Gary Owen. Brass was shining, flags were flowing. I swear if I had only known, I'd have wished I had died back in Vicksburg. Now me brother and me, we had barely escaped from the hell that was our London, 48. Two angry young lads who had learned how to hate, but we loved the idea of America. And we cursed our cousins who fought and bled in their bloody coats of bloody red. The sun never sets on the bloody dead of those who aspire to an empire. But we'd make a better life somehow in a land where no man has to bow. It seemed right then and it seems right now that Paddy died for the Union. Robert Michael, he somehow got turned around. He had stolen the dream that he thought he'd found. Now I never will see that holy ground, for I've turned into something I've hated. And I'm haunted by that Gary Owen. Drums are beating, bugles blowing. I swear if I had only known, I'd have wished I had died back in Vicksburg. And I'm haunted by that Gary Owen. Drums are beating, bugles blowing. I swear if I had only known, I'd lie with me brother in Vicksburg. Thank you. Let's take a little poll here. Is there anyone here above the age of 12 who can honestly say you have never been dumped? See a show of hands. I actually had somebody raise their hand once. I said, "You lie." Because no matter what color you are, what religion you are, what age you are, like I say, as long as you're 12 or above, what nationality, what ethnicity, you know, everybody has that in common. At least once in our life, every one of us has been dumped. Which leads to an entire genre of songs, you know. Because people have various ways of dealing with being dumped. Some of them turn to drink. Some of them turn to drugs. Some hop headlong into another affair, not having learned anything from the last one. Some drive their car into a bridge. Some sit around and cry a lot. Some shoot themselves. Some shoot their ex. But some have a much more pragmatic way of dealing with it. I have a friend named Russell B. Mason. He used to live in New York. He wrote a whole bunch of songs. He's a good songwriter. He wrote several plays that ran off Broadway for years. And up until the early 90s, he was one of the world's truly great dumpees. He finally did meet someone in the late 90s, a Chinese lady some years younger than he, and they got married, and he now lives out in Saipan, which he says is living in paradise except when the typhoons go through. Anyway, he wrote this song in 1989, This is how Russ Mason dealt with being dumped. My girlfriend, she walked out on me. It's over now, it's plain to see. Now I'm alone, I guess I'll go home. But of all the lovers that I have had, she wasn't the best, so I'm not too sad. And I think, honestly, the best I ever had was me. Tonight I'll sip some champagne, have a small quiche Lorraine, soft music and a little candlelight. Yes, I'll have a ménage à moi tonight. I'll take a hot bath and I'll quietly laugh at the way I used to be so bourgeois. Yes, I'll have a ménage à moi ce soir. There is no need for any other when you discover that you're the lover you've been long anticipating. And it certainly isn't queer to say to that face in the mirror, my God, I find you so fascinating. Now there's no need to fake it or say, did you make it? Knowing everything's gonna turn out just right. Yes, I'll have a ménage à moi tonight. Ba-da-da-da-da. Ba-da-da-da-da. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. Yes, I'll have a ménage à moi tonight. Ba-da-da-da-da. Ba-da-da-da-da. Ba-da-da-da-da-da. Yes, I'll have a ménage à moi tonight. There is no need for any other when you discover that you're the lover you've been long anticipating. And it certainly isn't queer to say to that face in the mirror, my God, I find you so stimulating. Now there's no need to fake it or say, did you make it? Knowing everything's gonna turn out just right. Yes, I'll have a ménage à moi tonight. Turn out the light, my darling. Yes, I'll have a ménage à moi. Oh, yes, I'll have a ménage à moi. I do believe I'm gonna have a ménage à moi tonight. Thank you. Song written in 1997 by a fellow named Daryl Scott. Daryl Scott's a country singer. He actually spent several years in Boston studying poetry. While he was in Boston, he played and sang with John Lincoln Wright and the Sour Mash Boys, who were a very, very popular country band here in central New England, really. They played Webster Lake all the time, played all over the place. John Lincoln Wright was the front man, lead singer for Beacon Street Union back in the days of the quote-unquote Boston sound. I was in a group called Orpheus back then. We had a few hits. John passed away a few years ago. Real shame. But anyway, Daryl Scott went back down south and became a country singer-songwriter and decided he wanted to find out some things about his ancestry. And he and his family knew most of the details, you know, back a few generations, except there was one set of grandparents that they really didn't know much about. And these folks came from a place called Harlan County, Kentucky. I spent almost 30 years in the underground mining business. I've been to 60 countries, 44 states, crawled around in mines from Argentina to Zimbabwe. I still got coal in my veins, you know, even though it's bad for the environment. Once you go underground, it's like another world. But anyhow, I've been in bombings and floods and earthquakes and riots. And I tell you stories to curl your hair. But Daryl Scott went down to Harlan County. Now, Harlan County is one of the poorest counties in the country. It is in the heart of Appalachia. It's 28,000 people. Median income is $13,500. The county seat of Harlan is 1,100 people. There's no industry except for coal, and coal is fading. They'll last a little longer here because it's metallurgical coal, which there's still a demand for. They use it to make steel. Steam coal's pretty much on its way out. But anyhow, back in the day, which is to say the 30s, late 30s, when the UMW was trying to organize the coal miners, Harlan was the site of several pitched battles between the striking miners and an army of thugs that had been hired by the mine operators to keep order. There were a lot of casualties. Harlan is known for that reason as Bloody Harlan, and is known as that to this day. I haven't been there in about 20 years, but they tried to keep some of the history alive. There's a big mine down in the center of Harlan, and the compound where they have the infirmary and the supply depot and the parking lots and the, you know, the hoist to get down underground and all that stuff, all the offices. That's in a compound ringed by a double row cyclone fence electrified with razor wire on the top. There is one entrance to the compound, and the gate is made out of a piece of I-beam, the kind that they use to hold up bridges with. They didn't want anybody coming through there. And if they did get through on the inside of the, just inside the gate, there were two concrete pillboxes, each with a 50 caliber machine gun, which saw service back in the day, Bloody Harlan. They don't like strangers much in Harlan. And these are the people who vote for Mitch McConnell, you know. They especially don't like flaming liberal socialist Yankee strangers. But being as how I was a coal mining guy, they let me live. But I'll tell you what, if I had ever been stupid enough to try and hit on one of their women, I would have never left Harlan alive. Which brings us full circle to the song. that Daryl Scott wrote about his grandparents. You'll never leave Harlan alive. In the deep, dark hills of eastern Kentucky is the place where I trace my bloodline. And it's there that I read on a hillside gravestone, "You'll never leave Harlan alive." Well, my grandfather's daddy came from down Catherine's Mountain, took Tilly Hilton for his bride. He said, "Walk with me now," from the mouth of his holler, "or I'll never leave Harlan." Where the sun comes up, about 10 in the morning, sun goes down, about 3 in the day, you fill your cup. Whatever bitter brew you're drinking, spend your life just thinking how to get away. No one ever suspected there was coal in them mountains till a man from the northeast arrived, waving $100 bills, said, "I'll pay you for your minerals." But he never left Harlan alive. Grandma sold out cheap. They moved out west of Pineville to a farm where the Richland River winds. I bet they danced them a jig, laughed and sang them a new song. Who said we'd never leave our land? But the times they got tough, tobacco wasn't selling. Grandpa did what he had to survive. Went and dug Harlan coal, sent the money back to Grandma. But he never left Harlan. Sun comes up about 10 in the morning, sun goes down about 3 in the day, you fill your cup. Whatever bitter brew you're drinking, spend your life digging coal from the bottom of your grave. In the deep, dark hills of eastern Kentucky, is the place where I trace my bloodline. And it's there that I read on the hillside gravestone, you'll never leave Harlan Land. It's God, guns, and glory down in eastern Kentucky, and you'll never leave Harlan alive. Thank you. You know, people... There's no way of getting out of Harlan, really, because there's no industry. People are born there. They go to school there. They work there. They die there. A lot of them have never been the 30 miles to Lexington because they can't afford it. And that's in this country. Back when I was a kid, there was a... Broadway show in a movie called Going My Way. And there was a song in there that my dad used to sing to me all the time. I think he was trying to brainwash me. Would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar? And be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a mule? Mule is an animal with long, funny ears. He kicks up at everything he hears. His back is brawny, but his brain is weak. Kind of stupid with a stubborn streak. But hey, if you hate to go to school, you could grow up to be a mule. Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar? And be better off than you are? Or would you rather be a pig? A pig is an animal with dirt on his face. His shoes are a terrible disgrace. He's got no manners when he eats his food. Kind of stupid and he's often crude. But if you don't care a feather or a fig, you could grow up to be a pig. Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar, and be better off than you are. Or would you rather be a fish? A fish don't do anything but swim in a brook. He can't write his name or read a book. To fool the people is his only thought. Though he's slippery, he still gets caught. But if that kind of life is what you wish, you could grow up to be a fish. And all the monkeys aren't in the zoo. Every day you see quite a few. So you see, it's all up to you. Better than you are. You could be swinging on a star. Or would you like to swing on a star? Carry moonbeams home in a jar. We can be better off by far. We should be swinging on a star. Get out and vote, people. Gonna leave you with this one. Written in 1929, it's from the Broadway production Great Day. It was written by Vincent Humans, Billy Rose, and Edward Eliscu. Something I want you Mouseketeers to always remember. Without a song, the day would never end. Without a song, the road would have no bend. When things go wrong, a man ain't got a friend. Without a song, that field of corn would never see a plow. That field of corn would be deserted now. A man is born, but he's no good no how. I've got my troubles and woes, but sure as I know that Jordan will roll, I'll get along just as long as the song is strong in my soul. I'll never know makes the rain to fall. I'll never know what makes the grass grow tall. I only know there ain't no love at all without a song. I've got my troubles and woes, but sure as I know that Jordan will roll, I'll get along just as long as the song is strong in my soul. I'll never know what makes the rain. Makes the grass grow tall. I only know there ain't no love at all without a song. Thank you very much for your kind attention. Thank you.
And that brings us to the end of another wonderful night here at the Fresh Ground Coffee House. Thank you so much. A real honor to have you here tonight. Folks, you've been treated to something absolutely amazing, and we'll let it go at that. Third Saturday of next month, I don't know who our act will be yet, but it's going to be another good one, I guarantee you. Thanks a lot. Have a great night.